Well, you know what? It's estimated that each year over 1 million people run at least one marathon. And if you've ever considered being one of those million, you've got a lot of opportunities to do so right here in Wisconsin. But you can't just wake up one day and decide to run 26.2 miles. Getting your body ready for that kind of prolonged activity takes some training. Larry Mueller here for WPR News. And we've got some great tips to get you started on that training with our next guest, Janelle Dethridge. Janelle is a physical therapist with UW Health Sports Medicine Runners Clinic. She's also a five-time Olympic trials qualifier, as well as a four-time All-American for the UW-Madison Badgers track and cross-country teams. So as we talk with Janelle Dethridge, I hope you'll join in. Are you a runner trying to work your way up to a marathon? What's holding you back? Or have you run a marathon but weren't happy with how it went? You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Janelle Dethridge, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Can you fill us in a bit on your running background? How did you get started running, and tell us, give us sort of the various stages of your running career?
Oh, you're making me go way back. yeah, absolutely. I started running when I was probably about 10, mostly because my dad was a marathon runner, and I did a couple runs with him and found that I had some talent and just kind of just blossomed from there. I ran in middle school and then in high school and had some pretty good success, and then was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to come here and run for the Badgers, which was an incredible experience and had a lot of amazing teammates, and we won some Big Ten titles, and that just spurred a professional career. So I continue to run throughout physical therapy school and then ran professionally for a brief period of time, and then kind of transitioned to the marathon after my professional career was over. So that's, you know, the kind of the last phase here. I feel like the older we get, the longer we go. So, but it's been really enjoyable. And I think treating runners in the clinic, it's really helped me, you know, connect with my patients, just having, you know, shared experience.
Yeah. What would you say is the highlight of your running career?
I think my college experience, to be honest. I think I really value being part of a team, and we had an amazing team, and we just did a lot of cool stuff together. So that was really special to me. And I think the second thing I would say is my marathon trials when my two daughters were there, the last one in 2020. So it's kind of fun to have my kids be there to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a daughter who runs cross country and high jumps for her college's track team. So spent a lot of time watching her and traveling, although typically it's, especially for high jumping, it's not a very long experience that you're watching. Well, how has, talk more about how your relationship with running changed since retiring from professional competition. You did mention some of the work you're doing now.
Yeah, I think it's just, I still feel like I have that competitive spirit, but I really, there's no pressure. It's just I'm doing it for the love of the sport. And so it's just more kind of for fun, for enjoyment, for the social connection when I'm out there running with other people. And I'm still just a goal-oriented person, so it still gives me that outlet to be able to set a goal.
Somebody is wondering, is it 26.2 miles for a marathon?
Oh, my gosh. Now you put me on the spot. There's a story behind it, and I think it's back to, Athens, Greece, and the first marathon was someone running from one town to another. I don't remember the exact story, but there's like history to it, and it's from way a long time ago.
The one I heard was goes back to, I think it was around 1908, the London Olympics. and the royal family requested that the race start at Windsor Castle and finish in front of the royal box. And it was,
oh my gosh,
it was 26.2 miles. So that was a story that I heard. I guess it's it was varied for quite a while, and then finally they hit on, okay, we're going to stick with the what the royal family had for it. That was the story I heard. Oh man,
I'll believe it.
Is it? I'm going to tell you a little story. I had a friend who was in a half, going to run a half marathon. So I thought, oh, at the last minute, I'll do it too. That was a huge mistake. one of these guys that gets out and does a couple, 3 miles in the morning and not really training at all. And I suffered, I think, for about the next 6 months from it. How much preparation do you need, just in terms of time, do you think you need?
I think for the marathon distance, I think a half marathon's, you can kind of get away with it with a half marathon and kind of gut it out. And you'll, like you said, you'll pay for it later, but the marathon really is a whole other animal. You really do have to put the work in. So, most training plans, I think they vary from like a 12 week to even a 20 week. And I would argue in favor of the longer, the better, the sooner you can start and the more time you give yourself to really adapt to the training, the better.
Yeah, I'm probably, so about a half a year or so is before it starts is the time to do it.
And especially if you're
go ahead.
A novice runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think especially if you're a novice runner, if you've got a little bit of a base underneath you, you can shorten that time frame. But yeah, I agree. The newer runners definitely should consider taking that length of time.
And I would expect probably important to check with your doctor before you even start the training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Would you recommend that runners run shorter races before tackling a marathon?
Well, I think it can be helpful just to give you confidence and get used to the experience of being in a road race and the preparation, planning what you're going to eat before and how you're going to dress. I think there's definitely value in that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me anyway. What type of work regimen should you follow when training for a marathon?
In terms of running volume?
I was thinking, do you base it solely on running or do you try cross training, maybe swimming or other kinds of strength training?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you're going to, most of us have limited amounts of time in the day to fit in extra things. And I think runners are famous for just wanting to get their run in and not, spend the time doing other things. But I think the highest value, extra activity, in my opinion, is just getting the strength training in. Making sure your body is as durable as it can be to handle that repetition of impact that the marathon requires.
Yeah, and I'm wondering about the kind too of when you think about running. Are you running long, short, fat, flat, hilly, fast, slow, bit of everything?
I would say a bit of everything. I think a little bit depends upon the course you're training for. So, for example, the Boston Marathon was just a week ago, and that's a pretty hilly course. So most folks who've been fortunate enough to qualify for that race will intentionally do a lot of hill training just to prepare. But most training plans will have a mixture. Certainly that long run is really important. There's usually a weekly long run. But then the midweek runs can have, some hill repeats, some shorter intervals, some variability.
Yeah. And I'm also wondering about nutrition. How does that play in marathon training and performance?
I think it starts in the training side of it and just making sure that you're fueling appropriately, replacing all those calories and getting enough of the nutrients you need during your training. And then fueling during the race is a kind of a separate challenge with this long of a distance. So most runners will practice drinking the fluids that they're going to be drinking on the course and taking the gels or whatever nutrition they're going to take during their race, during their training, just so their body, again, is getting used to that and they're kind of figuring out where their needs lie in terms of the fueling.
Yeah. And the other is sleep. Although I've done long bicycle rides, where you're going a long way, and I never had any trouble getting to sleep afterwards. But how important is sleep when training?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I think we're seeing more and more that sleep really can play a role in injuries. So I think getting adequate rest is super important, especially after those big long runs, just to make sure you recover well and you don't get hurt.
It's fun talking marathons today with our guest, Janelle Deatherage, and she'll be with us right up until 12:30. Janelle's a physical therapist and former collegiate and professional runner, and we're talking about how to train to run a marathon. You can give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, and we'll be back right after this look at the news. Great to have you along today on WPR News. We're taking a look at getting ready for a marathon and maybe dealing with issues surrounding physical issues that you might have with our guest, Janelle Deatherage, physical therapist with UW Health Sports Medicine Runners Clinic. She's also a former collegiate and professional runner, talking about how to train for a marathon. And plenty of time, she's with us till 12:30, so plenty of time for your training questions. Maybe you're bouncing back from an injury. Question about that? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Cheryl from Madison called, couldn't stay with us. Janelle, and says that the cities of Athens and Marathon in Wisconsin are about 26 miles apart, and that's why they were given those names.
Ah, thank you, Cheryl. That's awesome.
And Dan from Madison also couldn't stay with us, but called. He said that ancient Greece, he was going back to what you were commenting on, there was a messenger who ran from Marathon to Athens to announce a victory against the Persians, and the distance he ran was roughly 26.2 miles. So,
okay.
But I'm still leaning on the royal family for the exact.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. So, do you participate now in, there's a bunch of marathons in Wisconsin. Have you ever run Grandma's?
Yeah, I've run Grandma's actually three times. That's my favorite race, definitely. But I've run several in this area, and I've run the Madison Marathon three times. So I like to stay local. It's nice to have something right in your backyard. Nice to be able to get out and actually train on the marathon course. So there's a lot of great things about running a marathon where you live. Sleep in your own bed that night, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's for sure. Somebody asked about tapering, and we do hear the term tapering when training for a competition. What is it, I guess, and if it plays a role when training for a marathon?
It's a very important part of the training, and it's typically the slow, steady decrease in overall volume and intensity of the training, just to make sure you're really well rested when you line up on the starting line the day of the race. And it usually starts between 2 and 3 weeks out from the race. Most marathon runners will do one last big long run and then slowly taper off after that. And it can be challenging a lot of times. A lot of times runners are used to their running volume, and we run for a lot of different reasons outside of just training. We run for our mental health, our social connection, and so it's hard to back off. And it can be, honestly, we think about the training, the actual long runs, and you know, things that sound kind of grueling, but to be honest, a lot of marathon runners struggle with the taper more than anything because it's really hard to back off. But it really is probably one of the most important parts of the training, is if you show up to race day and you're not well rested, you're not going to have a great race. So it's very important.
So we've trained and now we're running a marathon. What about pacing? You notice most runners are looking at their watch, or they're trying to do something while they're running. In that sense, how do you figure that out?
It can be really tricky. Most of the time, you can get an idea during your training. Typically, if you follow a training plan or work with a coach, there'll be some sort of indicator workout where you attempt to go like your goal marathon pace and get an idea of whether that's going to be reasonable or not. And I think going in with a goal pace that's a reasonable pace in mind is super important. With that long of a distance, if you go out too fast, it can be a really rough day. So I think, it's the length of race where you should feel very comfortable for at least the first half of it. And if you're struggling sooner than that, it's not a great thing. So just, being patient when you start, know that it's a journey, and that, those nerves and those jitters sometimes make you want to go out too hard, but that's where the modern day running watches that can give you some accurate information on like your pace and your pace per mile can be helpful to get you in the ballpark and make sure you're not overreaching going out too fast.
Yeah, it's. I was thinking about this. If you were going to run a marathon in 2 hours, which would be mighty fast, In fact, I think the women's record was just broken at the Chicago Marathon, which was a touch over 2 hours. But you're running 13 miles an hour.
I mean, the elite runners are running like sub 5 minute miles for the men and pretty close to it for the women. It's really incredible how fast they're going. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Most of us can't even, run like a lap on the high school track at that pace, and they can do it for 26.2 miles. It's pretty crazy.
It's absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm on my bike and I look at 13 miles an hour and it's moving right along, And then I'm thinking of running that around Lake Monona like I do with my bike. And it's just really, really hard to imagine. What are the typical, I'm trying to think of the proper, the typical medical or physical conditions, let's put it that way, the current physical problems that are most likely to develop for a marathoner?
So long-distance runners get what we call overuse injuries. So, you'll hear of the occasional ankle sprain, but for the most part, our injuries are things that develop just based on the constant repetitive stress on our bodies. So we get things like tendonitis, problems that are more just due to like the tissue being stressed repeatedly. So we just kind of lump it into overuse injuries, but it can vary from things like Achilles tendonitis to knee pain is common. There's a lot of different sources of knee pain, but knees are a common problem for marathon runners. And certainly hips and other like soft tissue injuries around the hip. Another common injury to distance runners is something called a bone stress injury, which is where the bone will either have an actual hairline fracture in it and develop a stress fracture, or just have some swelling and some evidence of just extra stress on it, and it can be a source of pain as well, and it can be a reason why people can't make it to the starting line, unfortunately. So when we're trying to rehab people in the clinic, we're looking at all of the factors involved in these different types of injuries and what maybe led to that overuse. So it's, could potentially just be that they weren't following an appropriate training plan and starting slow, like we talked about before, and gradually ramping things up and maybe just jumped too soon into too much training too fast. But sometimes it's what you're bringing to the table in terms of your strength or maybe your flexibility. Sometimes it's your running form. And so those are all the different things that I look at when I see runners in the clinic and what that we're trying to work on. And build a lot of symmetry between the right and the left side so that there's not one side that's maybe taking a little bit more of the impact force or not handling it as well as the other side.
What are specific shoes? I'm thinking about shoes. You know, for my little jogs and so forth, I love Brooks Ghost. I'm sure runners are probably not using those shoes. So what do they use?
Actually, I think that's still a super popular shoe, so you picked a good one.
Yeah, I love that shoe.
Yeah, it's really popular. The running shoes have just evolved since I've started running, and the modern running shoe looks a lot different than it did even, you know, 5-10 years ago. There's a lot of options out there, and as far as like what's the best shoe for any given person, it really just depends upon the individual. And you know, these days we just educate people to just fit for comfort. So the most important thing is, it sounds kind of silly and really simple, but it's, you know, if the shoe feels comfortable when you put it on, and you're comfortable running in it, that pretty much trumps anything, any advice anybody is giving you about them. And there's a lot of options of, you know, more cushioned shoes versus more stiff shoes, you know, shoes that have even like a fancy carbon plate in them that will, you know, potentially help you run a little bit faster. So I think the best thing for, like, especially someone looking to switch shoes or someone new to the sport, is to go to one of the local running shoe stores and really try on a wide variety of different styles and just find what fits the best and feels the best for them.
Yeah, I found the reason I like the Brooks, the Ghosts, is I can put those on, and I could go a long way the first time I put them on, and I never have any, you know, there's never blistering or anything that would create a problem for me.
Yeah, I think that's super important. It should never feel like you need to break the shoe in. You should feel like you can just put it on and just go for your first run and feel great in them.
Is there anything in terms of wear? What you would wear? I mean, I look and see people are sort of all look like they're wearing about the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some really nice, like, technical fabrics out there that are lightweight and you know, in the wintertime still can provide warmth, or in the summertime are nice and breathable. And I think there's a lot of, again, individual variability in terms of how, you know, people want to dress for different temperatures. And that's another thing that's great to experiment with in your training, is trying like different styles of clothing and different, you know, depending upon the weather, like different amounts of layers, if it's going to be a cold race. But yeah, absolutely. Like finding clothes that are running specific can be really helpful to make you comfortable out there.
And I'm wondering about hydration too. You know, when you're biking 80 or 100 miles, typically the advice I was always given first is drink before you're thirsty. And I'm wondering if that applies to a marathon runner.
That's actually a great question. And I think the science has evolved when it comes to hydration during marathons. I think definitely managing your thirst is really important, because as soon as your brain senses that thirst, it potentially can kind of start to shut you off, shut you down, and like force you to run slower. So definitely managing your thirst is huge. And I think depending upon the weather day you're going to have, you know, if you're running a race like the Madison Marathon that's in November, you're probably not going to be sweating a lot. You might get away with not drinking as much and maybe not starting as early. Like maybe you skip the first water stop or two. But if it's going to be a race like Grandma's Marathon that you mentioned, which is in June, potentially much warmer, then I think it makes more sense to start earlier in the run and to, like kind of you mentioned, to stay ahead of it a little bit, just so you don't get to the point where you're so thirsty you just can't catch up. And, you know, most of the bigger races have plenty of stops out on the course. And there's also great products. You can wear your water in a like a belt or in a backpack if you feel more comfortable just having it with you, or your whatever you're going to drink, your, you know, Gatorade or something similar.
Yeah. Another emailer wonders what you suggest for chafing. That's a lot of skin-on-skin contact.
There's lots of different products out there, but something simple like an Aquaphor, you know, like a petroleum jelly based product like an Aquaphor, I think is a great product that works for that. And I think just making sure like the clothing matters too. So I, you know, steering clear of things like cotton, again, back to the like technical fabrics, some of the little bit nicer running specific fabrics are designed to minimize chafing. So making sure that you're looking for things that are designed for runners can be helpful too.
And someone else is wondering about apps. Are there any good apps or other technology you recommend to use during training or a race to track progress and goals?
There's lots of different things out there. A lot of folks wear GPS watches. My watch of choice, and a lot of runners wear Garmin watches, and they have a great app that, like, I don't even have to load it on. It just automatically goes from my watch to the app or to my computer, and it just tracks for me. And it'll, you know, let you know your splits for your run, the elevation change. The watches these days will give you all sorts of feedback on heart rate and, you know, ideas for how long you'll need to recover from that run. So if you're using a running specific watch, there's a lot of data that you can get from it. Some of it may be more accurate than others, but it is nice to have the pace, the elevation change, you know, those sorts of things will be loaded into the app off your watch. And then as far as apps for training, I'm not super familiar with like different specific marathon training plans that are in app form, but I think like one of the most popular marathon training plans are the Hal Higdon plans. That training plan has several different variations. There's like a novice version all the way up to a little bit more advanced where you'd be doing harder workouts and more mileage. So no matter what you're using, I think the most important thing is that it fits with where you are in your running journey. Again, like if you're a novice, you want to make sure that you're really following a novice training plan, just to make sure that you aren't putting yourself at risk for getting injured.
Yeah. I use MapMyRun, that app, and I like it a lot. Mostly,
yeah.
It mostly keeps me honest and keeps me kind of motivated to stay in the top 6-7% of all the people on it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people use Strava. I'm not on that, but that's another like really super popular kind of app to stay connected with other runners, and you can do like little competitions, and so I'm sure there's more out there. But
Pat emailed, how do you not get bored running the long distances? How do you mentally prepare for these types of events and during the events?
That's a great question. Everybody kind of has their thing. Like, I know plenty of folks who are just, you know, they don't want to listen to any music. They don't want any distractions. They just kind of use that time to clear their head. It's sort of their like mental therapy, which I respect. And there are days where I just turn off my earbuds and I just, you know, kind of zone out and think about the day. And I use the time for that. But I'm a big fan of podcasts. So I listen to a lot of podcasts when I run. I love running with other people, and some of my, you know, current and former training partners are some of my best friends to this day, because you just have so much time to talk and learn about each other's lives and just get to know people. So it's really awesome. There's a lot of great training groups locally. So if you're looking for ways to stay motivated and make it fun and interesting, I think joining a training group, there's training groups out there for all abilities. But yes, podcasts are my go-to, I guess.
What clues does your body give you during training or a race that tell you something's wrong?
I think it's really important to listen to your body in terms of really specific pain. I mean, for sure, when you're training for a marathon, you're going to have days where things are just uncomfortable and you're going to have muscle soreness. I think being able to differentiate between, is this an okay pain, and is this just sort of normal training, and is this something that it indicates that I might need to take a few days off and back off? And my general rule is, you know, you shouldn't really be running with pain. Like if it's maybe like we use that 0 to 10 pain scale quite a bit in our world. And I think if it's living in like the 1 or 2 range, and it's not affecting how you're running. So if you're not limping, you're not favoring one side or the other because of it, and you can kind of ignore it, and it's not getting worse while you're out there or lingering when you're done, I think that's probably okay. I get more nervous, and I usually recommend like some extra days off if there's pain that's sharp, if the pain is progressively getting worse while you're running, or if it's lingering when you're done for longer than like an hour or two, more than just like a normal, you know, and it's more than just a more normal muscle soreness.
Yeah, makes sense. What's a time goal? Say you're going to run your first marathon. Is the goal just to finish, or what's a time goal for finishing your first marathon?
To be honest, I feel like no matter where you are, even if you're an elite marathon runner, the goal should always be to finish, because there's no guarantees in that long of a race. And I've definitely seen things go south for even like the best runners. So I think it's my thought is always to have more than one goal. You know, you kind of have your everyone's goal should just be to get to the finish line, right? So that's goal number one. And then you kind of have your if it's a perfect day goal. And there's so many things that can affect that long of a race, including weather, you know, diets, like were you sick 2 weeks before? There's all sorts of things. So kind of having your if everything goes perfectly goal, and then kind of having your like I would be okay with it, like it's still a good day kind of goal. So having like different goals that way, like, you know what, if you just made it to the finish line, you still achieved one of your goals. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And how long do you let your body recover, or how long does it take to recover after a marathon?
You know, I think we underestimate this, and I don't have a statistic on this. This is just my feeling from having done this for a lot of years. I see probably just as many people get injured in the month after the marathon than I do leading up to it. And I think it's because we really underestimate how much time we need to truly recover. And we start training maybe too hard too soon. You know, we're coming off that taper, and then we have this one big event, and we're just like, we've tapered for those 2 to 3 weeks, and we're like, I want to get back into my training regimen right away. So I really recommend like at least a good couple of weeks of just shutting down, just taking some walks, taking some bike rides, and then ramping back up slowly like you did at the start of your training cycle versus going right back at it.
And on that note, we are out of time. Janelle, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll look forward to another visit down the road. Thanks, Janelle.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Janelle Dethridge with us. She's a physical therapist with the UW Health Sports Medicine Runners Club. Fun talking with her about getting ready and running a marathon. Well, what about the weather? Are you ready for a talk about the weather? John Martin, our weather guy, is coming up next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.